Hey, so this is Clay and Michelle Schroff back with another episode of Voice of a Lion. And we're kind of touching on some touchy stuff, some hard to talk about stuff. And really what we want to do today is make it so that it's not hard to talk about and bring awareness to you and your family. And we have brought in Toya Kaplan, who has been a dear friend of ours for how long now, Toya?
Like 10 years.
10 years.
Close to 10.
And we have joined with their organization, which we're going to have her tell you about a little bit, but it's kind of morphed over the years into what it is today. So welcome, Toya.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. And Toya's with For the One. And what you guys have really been focusing on, I mean, for the 10 years that we've been partnering up together, has been human trafficking and human trafficking awareness. And you guys even had a home, Freedom House,
correct,
for survivors. And that, you guys had 5 years?
It was three.
Yeah. So for 3 years.
Felt like five.
Yes, it did. It did.
I bet it did. And that was really just it was like education for you guys to be able to go, wait a minute, what do these young ladies and young men have in common? And through that, you guys developed the Vulnerable No More campaign.
Correct.
And now, is that still a campaign or you guys have expanded that into its own machine? Because really and truly, when you realize what a need there is, we were just talking statistics with child exploitation and, 93% of children that have been assaulted, it's from a family member.
Correct. Or somebody they trust.
Yes.
Like in the community, or yeah, it's a trusted family member or a trusted person in their lives.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's astounding to me. So, the morphing that Clay is talking about, I really see and we talk about normalizing things, and I just really feel like this must be conversation. This must be conversations that parents have with their children, that aunties, uncles, I even just think coaches, being able to honor and respect children and not to assume that you can touch and you can without asking permission to put your hand on kids. And so with what you guys are currently doing, what awareness is it that you really want to bring to light?
So back to the point of how we have morphed, from having mm-hmm. the home, which was great because it really is what catapulted us to where we are today. Mm-hmm. So having the house and the training that led into the home really began to show us how, in every case, those people were vulnerable. And so we made the correlation with trafficking, and the first three events that we did were, I would say, 80% about trafficking, mm-hmm. to your point.
Tell us what trafficking is. So if our listeners don't know, they're super clear on what that means.
So that is the use of force, fraud, or coercion mm-hmm. by whomever, whether it's a male or a female, to recruit and then actually sell an individual, whether it's male or female, for a sexual purpose or for labor trafficking. So those are the two most common forms. Mm-hmm. And we, until recently, largely dealt exclusively with the sex trafficking mm-hmm. side of it, and then have just now started branching in as we collaborate with a couple of organizations that run into labor trafficking. Mm-hmm. Our home was for sex trafficking survivors, female, adult mm-hmm. sex trafficking survivors.
Yeah.
So, and we saw in every case, with that group, by the way, it's like 3.9 out of every 4 has some sort of a sexual abuse in their past, which absolutely sets them up for this. As we move forward into what we're doing now, which is this umbrella, greater and frankly so much more vast conversation right. about child sexual exploitation, then it becomes like the secondary level of what we talk about. Mm-hmm. Because it's under that umbrella, and now it's that every child is vulnerable, and most families are to that happening.
Yeah. So what did you discover to be what makes a child most vulnerable?
Their age and their mm-hmm. naivety, the fact that they just don't understand, so they trust so many people. But the really scariest part is that so many of the families, the adults, the mm-hmm. parents are almost as naive in many, many cases.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, what I've noticed, and I don't know if it's because I like to think that I'm a nice person, but I am very cautious and very protective over our pride. And what I've noticed is that in talking to other parents, because I do, this is, for me, this is life. And it's a conversation because of my past. And I want to be able to freely have these conversations with my children. And I've spoken with a lot of parents in the community, a lot of people in my community, and just said, hey, you know, do you openly talk about these things to your children? You know, about not feeling comfortable, you know, there's something about someone. Is that something that you can just freely bring up to your child? And you're like, and I hear time and time again, well, I'm trying to teach them to be nice, and I'm trying to, you know, to be respectful and to honor and to, and I'm just like, okay, but do they feel free to have these conversations? Do you believe that that is something that, could ward off, or at least could give, I don't know, give a parent some insight as to what they can be doing without creating fear? Because I think that is another thing that parents are not wanting to instill in their kids, is obviously they don't want them to be rude, but they also don't want them to be fearful.
Right. And so there's so much to that, unpacking that, and I'm not going to overspend time, mm-hmm. but our direction currently is to make it as comfortable in the home as talking about seatbelts. Nobody hesitates. No one. You're getting in this car. Well, we're not backing up mm-hmm. until your seatbelt's on. And ultimately, even road safety, yeah. as I had 5 teenagers go through defensive driving and, you know, learning how to drive with me in the car, I didn't hesitate to give them direction and to empower them with information, to bring things up. It wasn't awkward for me. But the thing we run into over and over again with adults is their awkwardness yeah. with that particular conversation. The younger you can start them, the better, on their appropriate age. Mm-hmm. So we're including resources in the events. Mm-hmm. Like, I have vetted so many books that open up opportunities for beginner families mm-hmm. who are just trying to figure out how to navigate this conversation. Yeah. So we're vetting those, and at our events, we will have the books as an example, and then the list they can take with them, which is sectioned into age groups, from really like 2-year-old little toddler book that talks about kind of body safety and just the baby steps, right? But it gives parents, they begin to get permission and understanding about how to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. It's awkward because, frankly, we're awkward.
Yeah.
We are, and many of us are awkward. I'm in a different place in my life now than I was when my children were younger. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how awkward it is, I'm going to talk that's about right. it at that's their right. age-appropriate level. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're encouraging is... The payoff is tremendous. It's a legacy of generational change
yeah.
where we can finally get out ahead of this and stop it. I've recently been doing research about serial predators mm-hmm. and what comes up in those, no matter who's doing the investigation or sits down and does this very thing and talks to them, they will say if there is a strong front and yes, if there's a dad who's extremely like, oh, I'm watching out and mm-hmm. I see you.
Yeah.
If a single mom does the same thing, is like, no, my head's on a swivel mm-hmm. and I'm watching you. You might be the most awesome person ever.
Right.
But our family has eyes and ears on the community.
Yeah.
That is what deters that kind of behavior coming at your family. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do it.
Yeah, that's
we have
right.
to.
Now, something that Toya has done, and our listeners need to know this, is that you have taken out the shame of being a victim of a predator. And, you know, by bringing this to the forefront, a lot of people don't want to talk about it because it's a shame. It's the dark little family secret. And the truth is something that me and Michelle have decided a long time ago, when dark things happen in our family, we drag it out in the light and beat the living tar out of it.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
And what that does is it doesn't keep it in the dark.
That's right.
And it's amazing when you do that, the flood of people who've seen you bring it into the light without shame that come along and say, I'm so glad you did that because now I can do that. Mm-hmm. And we're really proud of the fact that you've done the difficult stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, your organization has morphed or changed according to what's going on. You know, the funny thing is, and it ain't so funny, that little kids right now are given iPhones. And what without parental controls and without parental supervision, and it has opened up what the, remember when we had the perv, we're all old enough in this room, and some of our listeners are, that if you wanted to look at dirty things, you would have to buy a dirty magazine. Mm-hmm. And if it was a pervert, it was the guy down the street, or it was the guy at the corner, or it was the person coming in your home, the family member. But it was isolated. Now, it's a click away.
Global.
It's a swipe away. And there's people in other countries who are targeting your children.
That's right.
At a click of a button. So I know that that's stuff that you're going to address and you have resources for, which we're going to provide all of this underneath. But address that. How important is it that parents look at the social media and the games and the connections? How important is that, Toya?
So it's such a huge umbrella of in-person predators and groomers and online. So we've got two different things to always be watchful of. I want to back up one step and say, I find over and over that people are so terrified about this conversation that instead of empowering themselves I'm going to listen to this, mm-hmm. I'm going to learn about it, because in the same way we don't keep our family out of cars mm-hmm. because there might be an accident, we don't keep our children from living in life or put them in some bubble, which many Christian families have been guilty of doing because they don't know what else to do. So I want to address that we are here to empower. So really the three things with our events is to protect, empower, and prevent. Mm. Protect your children, empower them with information, empower yourself with information. And then at the end of it all, we will so prevent this from happening. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean nothing's ever going to happen. But I can flat out tell you mm-hmm. that there's going to be such a shift in the numbers because the predators are having it's a free-for-all right now.
Yeah.
If you take that power back from them by educating yourself, not just here, but through other, I can't even tell you the years and hours I've spent researching this, because I'm too afraid not to prepare myself. So my grandchildren will not live the life mm-hmm. that I did. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's a lot of differences, because we do have where these predators are going through grooming. They're making fake profiles mm-hmm. to pretend to be somebody else. It's catfishing. Mm-hmm. They pretend to be someone their age. So, and that's a big conversation as well that we get into at events, but sextortion. Mm-hmm. And then that turns into child porn. Mm-hmm. And there's so many conversations. The bottom line of it, and I have a drawing in front of me that I'm using as a visual for our next event, at every single endpoint, there's either a man, 93% of the time, according to most of the research, and then a female represents the other piece of that, because there are some female mm-hmm. predators mm-hmm. as well. Those are the numbers, but it's a man and a woman. So instead of getting distracted by the smoke and mirrors of, we should know how it's happening, we should know that it is happening, but we have to prepare our child for that man, mm-hmm. that woman, that they're going to come in contact with either online or in person. So that's what we're just trying to clear the dust for parents. Yeah. You don't have to do all the hours of research.
Yeah.
You don't. You need to come to an event.
That's right.
You know, because we've broken it down into very digestible pieces. And then we have speakers, people on our panel. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at both of them. people that are going to do breakout classes in the future as well for us mm-hmm. that help give you permission, tools and resources for, like, I can sew. I can be brave about
that.
I will take baby steps. I'll mm-hmm. drag myself by my own collar if I have to. Mm-hmm. But we will have this conversation. And frankly, your family has modeled this mm-hmm. for all the years mm-hmm. I've known you. And it's maybe 9 and a half now. But mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you have modeled this since the day I met you. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need your voice speaking to this. Yeah. You have to swallow hard, but bringing it hard conversations sometimes.
Yeah.
Out into the light, so you can break it down and you can talk about it, and everybody gets freedom then.
Yeah. And there is freedom in that when it is brought out into the light and you go, oh, this is something that we just have to be equipped for. We just need to know, okay, moving forward, how can we? You know, we talk about, you know, when a child stumbles upon porn or even looks for it. I mean, I'm curiosity.
Yeah, let's be real.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be is real. That, how were you at that age?
Right.
You know, let's be
true.
Honest.
You're curious. You're. Mm-hmm. It's not because they're little perverts. It's simply because they're curious. And how do we treat that? What do you do as a parent when your child has access porn?
Right.
Honestly, the number one thing for me is we need to have compassion on that child. And this isn't a situation where your child is just, you know, wanting to, you know, experience something. It's really and truly curiosity. And that compassion needs to come before consequence, before, and have you been equipping your child? Because right. if you haven't been, then
what's
maybe,
the culture
maybe
in
we
your
need
home.
A timeout.
Yes, yes. What is your culture, which That's is right. part of our events, creating a family culture where even if it's hard, they know they can sit down and have those yes. conversations with you. And you and I have talked about mm-hmm. this, where it's instead of saying, I caught my child,
yeah.
you're like, I discovered,
yes.
I found out
yes.
that my child, or they told
they
me.
They told me, yeah.
Which is
yeah.
huge
that
to
is.
Have a child that told
That's
you.
Right.
There is so great of a group of kids that will not disclose that
right.
information because of the shame,
yeah.
because they're afraid they'll get blamed mm-hmm. for what happened. In every case, it's the predator that's
right.
at fault.
That's right.
It is.
Well, and think about it, how confusing that is for a child who, you know, they want to do the right thing. And no one's perfect. Of course, they're going to mess up. But, and then they've got another person that may know that they didn't say no. And that, and then they're concerned that they're going to get in trouble. And there's just, that's why the air has to be taken out of this. It can't keep carrying on and for kids to be victims because they, you know, they feel like there's something over them. There's something that someone or something has over them.
Some of the greatest victims are over-sheltered children.
Yeah,
they are.
That's true.
And it's because they feel the shame. We have a son who comes to us, and he's relatively young, and asks us crazy questions about sex and nudity. And here's the thing. It's God created.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian family, God created it.
Yeah.
In the mind of that young person, there is an innocence and a beauty in it.
Yeah.
And one of the things we were told a long time ago.
No, that's how it starts out.
That's right.
If you make it dirty
right.
and then
that's
somebody
right.
else makes it pleasurable,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to go with the pleasure, to
that's
be frankly
right.
honest.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is take away that guilt and shame. Now, like you said, it has to be age appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One of the things that we learned a long time ago was how do you carry... How much can that child carry?
Yeah.
Is it too heavy for them to lift? So, for instance, with our organization, and I know with yours, we've gone into some pretty dark places, the multi-divisional task force teams, where some of the worst of the worst of New Mexico cases are brought out, and they're horrific.
Yeah.
That's too heavy for me, let alone a child.
Right,
yeah.
But when it comes to nudity, the human body,
yeah.
and what is sex,
yeah.
it should be explained in a beautiful and a wonderful way that lets that child know that they don't need to be ashamed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what happens, listen to me, Christian families, you put your kids in a bubble and someone exposes them to that in a way that is pleasurable to them and discredits all the evil that you said it was, and then they lead them down an evil road with something that was made to be beautiful.
Right, counterfeit.
Yeah.
It'll
exactly.
be a counterfeit
yeah.
every
That's
time.
Wonderfully
That's right.
said. I love that.
No, but it's
yeah.
true.
It is.
And
because
so they're
going
to get it from somewhere. Yeah, they really are.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a whole other topic, really and truly. You know, when you think about, you know, just you know, like you were saying, the quote-unquote dirty magazines and the what that does to an adult, you know, and their expectation. And that's, like I said, that's a whole other issue and how we need to be training up our kids and knowing what is and what the creation of sex is.
Right.
It's truly,
yes.
yeah, it's Agreed. Not to shame you or to make you feel dirty or.
Right. And those magazines back then, mm-hmm. the whatever uncle with the pictures, mm-hmm. inappropriate pictures, mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. things happened back mm-hmm. in the day, it's just so exponentially like worse right yeah. now with how that's portrayed.
Yeah.
And so a family talking about the like the beauty and how God intends that mm-hmm. and, you know, after marriage and so on, mm-hmm. those are your opportunities to dump that in so that when something comes across or they're sitting next to a friend, mm-hmm. Defend Young Minds, which many of yes. the people I follow came from a couple of things that mm-hmm. you posted early on mm-hmm. where I'm like, okay, and who are they following?
Right.
So Defend so Young true. Minds is one of them. Mm-hmm. And I love the way he even talks about practicing conversations. You practice coming and telling me, Dad, mm-hmm. I saw something on my phone. Or let's practice right now. Yeah. Or my friend's phone, because you can put them in this water bottle at your house, mm. but they're going to leave.
It's so
they're
going
to leave the house.
So
we're not helping our children no. if we don't talk about them no. in the home. And guide them biblically
yes.
and correctly away from counterfeits.
I agree.
And just say there's going to be some people. Younger people can talk about tricky people. I mm-hmm. think that's a really powerful way. Instead of stranger danger, mm-hmm. we need to never say that again.
Yeah,
it's not stranger danger. It's the people we know and tricky mm-hmm. people with behaviors.
Yep.
So that's something we go into mm-hmm. at our events is let's identify. And I told you it's the protect, empower, and prevent.
That's right.
By explaining to them who those tricky people are and what their behaviors are when they're little.
Mm-hmm.
The older that they get, it becomes second nature for them
that's
to
right.
go. They can do their own thinking, because that's a deal. We're expecting them to jump on a global smartphone mm-hmm. or computer or tablet and negotiate or navigate that world as well as we do. And adults fall for things every day.
I was just going to say.
I'm just saying, but the scams that adults yes. fall for, because these predators, they're everywhere doing.
And they know what they're doing.
Yes, they are. So
they know what they're doing. With, you know, we mentioned video games. Clay is like adamantly opposed to video games in our home. He's like, they're just not good, not good. So we've never had them until this past year. We got a little Switch for the kids. We found that it was great motivation for homeschooling the kids. Like if you get this done and this done, then, you know, bribery, whatever.
Is there chat? Is that have
no,
a chat option?
No,
that's
chat
not,
options.
That's brilliant.
Not
nothing, y'all.
Well,
chat's
sort of brilliant.
Hard.
But what really got me was there was one game and it asked for all this personal information.
Mm.
They wanted their name. They wanted to know if they had a smartphone. And I told my kids, and it ultimately kind of turned into a little bit of a joke, but I explained to them, I said, oh, wait. What do you mean they want your name? So I told them, don't put your name, put a fake name. Duolingo. My kids wanting, it's a free app. You can learn English or learn different languages. So my kid's getting these chats from people.
Mm.
And I was like, absolutely not. I said, do not put your name in there. So my son put Grandma Willie.
I love it. I love it.
But it was just one of those things where I just kept thinking, my goodness, this is not necessary. What happened to the arcade?
So many homes, that's the babysitter.
Yeah.
So many young adults that I've worked with that had a hard time working the next day because they spent so much time mm-hmm. on a video game. You know what I mean? It draws them in. And the truth is that you should never give anybody your personal information
no.
unless you know who they are.
That's right.
If they need to give your personal information to give you something, and that's how these predators work.
Mm-hmm.
They work with something innocent. Hey, we're going to feed puppies.
Mm-hmm.
And all we need is your information. Really? You
yeah.
don't need my information.
Yeah.
What you need, you... And the other thing is that adults do not need to play with your kids.
Right.
If
right.
you have an adult with a dog, or if you have an adult with a that wants to play with children, that better send up a flare.
Right.
And people need to come to the rescue.
Right. Constantly living in the yellow.
Always.
So we're always on yellow with our traffic analogy. It's
yeah.
like you're never green.
Mm-hmm.
You just,
never
I'm sorry, you can't.
With kids.
You know,
with
if,
children,
if you're
you
in
can.
Your living room and there's not one smartphone or device around, you might be able to breathe.
Right.
And it's just
and
a safe
place. Toy is visiting, we're in green.
Right. We're in green. But anytime
no,
your
but
kids
like
are
even
around.
Netflix.
You're
oh, sitting
gosh,
down wanting to watch a movie. I'm like, okay. So I need to have my kids get out of the room because I'm looking for a movie. And
mm-hmm.
then it's like, what in the world?
Okay, let's get right back on track.
Okay.
So that we discover or have a feeling or somebody hurts our child. There is, let's say we don't know for sure. What's our next step?
Mm.
What do we do?
I think that's when you do sit down, even if it needs to be with that child.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin a conversation. And this would be fresh. Let's say it happened tomorrow in your home. Mm-hmm. I think that's when, and because the creating of the culture does take time. Our family talks about this. That takes months, weeks, years,
yeah,
right?
I agree.
But if it's that you're hearing this and then tomorrow something were to happen, that's the day you start. Or you start today after you hear this, mm-hmm. and you go, okay, what does that mean in our family and what will that look like? And just begin that day saying, our family is going to talk about these things. And because of that, I do need to ask you something. I'm talking to an 8 and 6 year old grandchildren, my granddaughters right now about, you know, just working towards it now. So I'm not in that situation. But if I was listening to this and it happened tomorrow, I would just sit down or get them in the car and drive with them. Right.
Yes.
And just go, we need to talk about something. And I don't know if something's happened yet or not, but I'm wondering, I feel like I saw something on your screen when I walked through, whatever the case is, I don't know exactly what the situation is. And by the way, phones do not belong, smartphones, tablets, computers do not belong in children's rooms. They're up, statistically, they're up between 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning, mid-school through high school. These kids are so addicted. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying burn all the phones, but they better be on a charger out of that room and in your bedroom where you would be awakened if they came in for them, because they're so addicted. Mm-hmm. Adults are addicted, but we're worried about the children. So, so start the conversation then. But if it hasn't yet and you haven't, you're not suspicious of anything maybe has occurred, then this is your chance to start to say, we're starting something really new here and it's what we're going to do forever. We're going to start talking about things. And we're a family that cares. I say to the grandkids, our family, and we might say our family hikes, our family worships, our family gives, our family serves, our family talks about hard things. Mm-hmm. We trust each other, and you can come to me with anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so now Uncle Joe comes in, and your son says, he touched me inappropriately. Next action.
I would get law enforcement involved immediately. That would be my immediate go-to. And then, and I just talked to a child therapist yesterday in another state that said, more important than anything, families need therapy and they need counseling at the onset to help them navigate this. She said she does work with the children as well, so we certainly think that's a great idea to get a child therapist involved, or a biblical counselor that you know, love, and trust is the additional thing to scoop in as soon as you can. Do not erase one thing, not one conversation, not one picture, nothing, because the FBI or whomever you go to research, that may be internet crimes against children, but you go immediately to law enforcement with that device and let them know, here's what happened. And I get texts all the time, you guys, recently, and it was one of our previous speakers reached out to me and said, look, I know this situation where a 14-year-old was catfished. She thought, and it was an inappropriate picture. Y'all take a breath out here that are listening. People, kids are being talked into that.
I
presented to a group of high school kids at the end of last year, and I looked out in that group and I said, I know there's people that are watching this right now and listening to me that have already sent those pictures. I'm telling you, it's not the end of your story because we're seeing suicide rates just skyrocket because the kids can't go to their parents and go, I did it. I sent that. And now they have your credit card number. Because these predators have talked them into giving them their, you know, their parents' credit card information. But back to your question, keep everything. Go to law enforcement with that. And that person that had the 14-year-old who had been sending pictures, she has disabilities, and that's another huge vulnerability. And the predator knew it. She had sent some inappropriate pictures, and they ended up needing to go to a safe house because the man knew enough that until they had him in jail, they knew it was a risk factor for the family to be at home. So these conversations now can prevent that later. That's what we need.
You know what I love is that you said, when he said, okay, the uncle, and you did not even hesitate, call the police.
Yes.
You didn't say, interview your kid, ask them what they did. You literally said, call the police.
And I believe you is what you go immediately. You tell your child, because I was in that situation when I disclosed as a younger person. Let me talk about statistically, one in three families believe their child when they come to them.
Oh, wow.
One in three.
So one of the boards that we served on, one of the things that stuck with me the most was this statement, children don't lie. And I, when I first heard it, I went, my kids lie all the time.
I have kids.
No, you lying.
Right.
Right. But you know what she went on to explain was children don't lie about hard things that get them in trouble. So if a child comes to you, especially the younger,
yeah,
and says that something inappropriate happened, the chances of it being a lie, children lie to get out of trouble. They don't lie to create trouble.
Right.
So if your children ever comes to you, let the police sort it out. Yeah, that's not right.
That's their job.
And, you know, the people in this room, all three of us have worked very closely with law enforcement, right? We have actually had our officers bring us in the homes and try to keep families together. They want what's best for the kids. And the people who work crimes against children, whatever aspect that is, loves children and wants to protect them. Also, they have a lot of dignity for the parents that, you know, thank you for coming forward, and they protect you as well. So that's I knew what you were going to say.
No, I love that.
But
and
you were
take
there.
Them and like hand in hand.
That's right.
We're going to go because we need to deal with this.
That's right.
And I can't tell you how many cases I've heard where the family enabled situations. I'm trying to be really careful, but parents need to quit doing
that. Here's me not being so careful. If you don't turn in an aunt, an uncle, a neighbor, or somebody like that, and somebody else gets hurt, you're as guilty, if not more guilty, than the person touching the doggone child. So you better be calling the police.
Yeah, choose your child. You know, we had a adoptive situation in our home where somebody went into one of our girls' rooms, and we're like, oh, you're moving.
Yeah.
You're moving tomorrow.
You're out. Yeah.
Love, love, love.
Right.
You got to go.
Got to go.
And I had somebody in Children, Youth, and Families ask me, well, couldn't you just put a lock on her door? And I'm like, I choose her.
That's right.
I choose her. I choose my children over anybody.
Yeah. We're not locking her up.
No, 100%. What does that tell your child when you stand up for the uncle, the grandfather, the next door neighbor? Yeah.
And then you have to watch, and then you have to... what that does to the dynamic of the family is just...
Mm-mm. It's so toxic. It on is. A 1 to 10, that's like 100.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you can't do more harm to a child than when they finally disclose. Statistically, mid-school, high-school kids tend to disclose because they want it to stop. Mm. Younger kids, they may want it to stop on some level because the nerve it takes to do that, by the way, and all am I getting in trouble and they're not going to believe me. And younger kids, it's just uncomfortable and awkward, and they don't want to continue to be put in those situations, which is why we don't make our kids hug people, get in people's laps.
My husband will not even let my kids sit on Santa's lap.
Mm. Well,
he will not. Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Don't get me started of a man in a red suit that wants children to sit on his lap.
And tell me your secrets. He's like...
Don't talk to my children.
You're like, that's the model of predatory grooming behavior.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Hey, parents, been like that. Especially men and women like my wife and Toya, do not take matters into your own hands. And that's really hard for me to even say. I'm choking on my own words. But listen to me. When you said call the police, you need to call the professionals.
That's right.
Get that information into their hands because I love that about one of our speakers, Owen Pina. Mm-hmm. He's like, our natural response, which is another part of what we talk about at the events, our natural response is immediate, which is why we need to work it through our brains ahead of time before we're in the middle of that situation. What would I do if I found my child doing that? What would I do if I discovered that was happening? Start trying to fire drill yourself a little bit before it happens. But he said, of course it's natural. It is natural that we would be terrified and so upset and oh my gosh. But you've got to breathe. Opal Stapleton is another hero of mine with Million Kids. And she said, you've got to stop yourself. Mm-hmm. Even if you have to leave the room for a minute and go regroup and just go, okay, this just happened. Mm-hmm. And I need to just make terms with this happening. And then I need to go be the thing my child needs in that room. And so I'm not going to call the predator. I'm not going to send as much as the side of me wants them to get caught.
Right.
Yeah. We don't want to mess something up that could put that predator behind bars for years if we don't get involved.
It.
We do. and let law enforcement do that.
Handle it, yeah. They know what they're doing. And you have no idea what case is already being built.
Exactly.
And you don't want that to fall apart, that's for sure.
Hey, we ask all of our guests this. If you could talk to the entire world, the rich of the rich and the poor of the poor, all at once, and it doesn't have to necessarily be with our topic, but it can be, this is you talking to the world, what would you want to tell them?
Our organization is for the one. Our campaign, back to your question earlier, is Vulnerable No More. The heartbeat of For the One is that no matter how extreme and overwhelming the numbers are in all of these situations that are occurring in so many different areas, I would say you can focus on the one you can help. Mm. Whether it's the one in your household, or if you don't have children and so on, the one that's your neighbor, your hairdresser's daughter, whatever the case is, for the one you can't help. And that was true when we had the sex trafficking home. Mm-hmm. That home was for the one we could help, not for the millions of people that are being trafficked.
We're still in
contact with some of them. Mm-hmm. I do love that. I love awesome. It that we have history all the way back to there. Mm-hmm. So it's for that one. That one, it's the starfish on the beach story, where the little boy's throwing them back and the old man comes up and goes, I don't know what you think you're doing. There's thousands of them on the beach. And he picks one up and he throws it in and he said, well, it mattered to that one. Mm-hmm. And that's the heartbeat of what we do, is it's for the one in front of us. It keeps us grounded at the sheer magnitude of what all's happening right now and the extreme evil that's behind it, that we can so begin to turn the tide against this, and one family at a time in our communities, we can stop this. Like, at least for the one that we can get it in front of.
That's good.
I want you both to talk to this. If there was that one that it's already happened to, it could have been a neighbor, it could have been an uncle, or worse, you could actually be being sold into sex trafficking. What do you say to them? It's already happened. Michelle?
I would definitely say that you're more. That's just not who you are. You are more than that. You were not designed for that. God has a purpose and a plan for your life that I truly believe he can use that. He can use that for you to walk with someone else. But of course that would be a conversation. That would be, probably years of conversation with that one.
Toya?
I would say that I know from my own story, and mm-hmm. I know Michelle could also agree to that point, that there's so much healing in front of you. Like, I am living now. I was at a women's conference recently, and during worship, I thought, I am living in my healing. I'm living in answered prayer. Oh. And that it may seem just so intensely overwhelming right now, mm-hmm. all the hurt, everything you've gone through. But I hope to be in every situation a conduit of God can sow. He can sow, heal every area of that. And honestly, hand in hand with him, there's no other way to That's do right. this. So mm-hmm. if they'll take baby steps, even lean towards the mm-hmm. Lord and trust him with bits of their story, mm-hmm. they're going to fast forward if they could.
That's so true.
They'll find themselves looking back and they're living in their answered That's prayer, right. their healing. So but our goal is to get to it before somebody has to experience the healing. So,
and there's peace. There is peace.
Mm-hmm. Even in the journey.
Yeah, that's right.
The women that I have here are truly scarred warriors and not wounded victims. So you really are. And what a privilege it is to have you on. So we are going to go into an event that we have coming up on
November 9th.
Right, this Thursday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
So we're going to have this podcast before then. And what we want to do is we want to invite all of our listeners to come to this event. Toya, how do we get there?
If you will go to fortheone.org. Sorry.
fortheone.org. And we're going to list all this below links, guys.
Yes. If you will go to our website, you will be able to register there. And if you're not local,
it's free.
Absolutely, 100%. And they will always be free. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to do anything that'll keep people from going. So it is free. It's only an hour and a half. This one is not long because it's on a school night, especially. Steve Sucker is our MC for that. And as we, you know,
Steve.
I know he's so awesome. What a great human. And we'll have a panel of experts. But yeah, if you need to register, whether you're coming in person or live stream.
Yeah, live stream. Yeah, that's what I was going to get you.
And once you register, if you're saying, hey, I'm out of the area or whatever the case is, I want to live stream, a couple of days in advance, after you've registered, they're going to send you the link to that. And in addition, so that you know, it will become a usable YouTube for our organization, which we will post, and people will be able to get linked to on our website. So it's going to live on.
That's right.
Forever.
And share.
Yes.
You know,
share this
follow.
With a friend, share that with a friend.
Yes.
We're going to have amazing
follow
experts, people that we've worked with the Attorney General's office, the Ghost Unit with Bernalillo Sheriff's Department. And it was so good catching up with them. And just amazing, amazing people that have insight beyond what most people do. These people have done this and followed this for years, and they love you and your children and nothing more than to keep them safe.
Yeah, and you don't have to have children to come. This is Vulnerable No More with the fam. So bring yourself, bring your friends, bring your family.
So good.
You can be without kids and go, hey, I just want to learn more and I want to know how to be a voice in the community. You come.
What's the age group?
11 years old and up, and we do that because
some things are a little too heavy to carry.
Right. Yeah. And if you're not sure because you don't know us, then you come or cover the kids while your husband or whatever, you know, one of y'all come, and then you'll know that it's a safe place for your kids moving forward.
That's awesome.
We want to thank Toya Kaplan for all she does for dragging this darkness out into the light and exposing it for what it is. Please help support her by sharing this episode with your friends and family. And we will see you on the next episode of Voice of a Lion.